Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. This is episode number 235 here on a nice clear night in Lexington, Kentucky, where I am broadcasting from. This is Stephen Zimmer, and tonight I am joined by two awesome co-hosts, one in the state of Kentucky, one down in parts unknown in Tennessee, R.G. Westerman and Daniel Dark. Welcome, and we'll get ready for a open line night, my friends.
Woohoo!
Anything hey, there's happen. Enthusiasm. That's enthusiasm. That's what we aim for in the show. And it will be fun.
Yeah, I'm enthusiastic. I'm ready for the show.
Hey, I'm always jamming out to the intro music. Like, every time it comes on, I'm like, hell yeah! Oh, wait, can I say that? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking to you, Daniel. I thought I saw you in an online video where they colorized a snowball fight in France from 1896 and actually did some smoothing of the video to make it like a smooth motion, and it was awesome. It was actually pretty awesome. Holly and I were watching it a few times, but thought I saw you in that clip, though. Some people,
oh, wow.
A guy looks suspiciously
now, are you talking
like
to me
you
or Daniel?
Throwing snowballs. Daniel.
Me.
It was 1896.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, actual 1896 film. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Because my mom found a photograph of me from the first graduating class of Transylvania University, and I'm standing in the front row wearing a, period dress. And I was like, where did you find this? And she was like, it's an authentic photograph. And I was like, so this means I'm going to invent time travel and go back and be in this photograph.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Awesome.
So.
Or
you
lived longer than you thought you did, and you just have a memory blank on a long time period.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, she found that this was like 20 years ago, so in the picture,
uh-huh.
I was still skinny, and so
nice.
Somehow, yeah. But anyway.
I truly love the pictures of me when I was in good shape. I still look at those fondly and remember the days when I was in good shape, and who knows, maybe I'll get there one day again, but that is
awesome
though, that you found like a photo of yourself from years past, and so you and Daniel,
like,
actually may be a similar age. Then you guys might be in the same age group, you and Daniel, when we corroborate this.
Yeah, eventually we'll have to have a sword fight.
Hey.
Oh man,
that's
awesome.
That's fine
sing
with me,
loudly,
as long as I don't have to hurt you too bad.
There can be only
one.
Daniel
is generous with swords, though. He gave me two as a gift at a Tony's event in LaGrange, Kentucky, the Kentucky Authors Fair. And
that's just up the road from me. Yeah, that's awesome.
So I have actually one of those swords is so awesome that I actually keep it in the front of our office. So it's I guess it's just so if we get assaulted by orcs in the middle of the working day, we have something to work with.
Well,
you never be too careful.
You're talking about the Tolkien sword, right?
Yeah, those are awesome, man. I love them. Yeah, I keep one in the office.
That one is supposed to be a sword that was actually on set, but I don't know.
Oh, even better. Maybe that's why I felt a pull to it then. And now we got Sandy Lender's attention in the chat room. She's like, swords. Yeah. She says the number of blades in her home is frightening, but will come in handy someday. Yes. And the great vampire apocalypse hits, you will be prepared, Sandy.
Sandy, have you ever seen Knives Out? That is sort of like my house.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
I'm still wanting to make one of those, hangings you know, in from Knives Out.
Right.
With a bunch of my knives and stuff.
I'll try to convince Holly about swords and such, but she still just, you know, has her faith in her trusty Louisville Slugger. That's her go-to.
Hey, yeah. Well, y'all are all doing better than I am, because I have a significant collection of plastic lightsabers. So that's the best
awesome.
I'm doing.
Now you're the one with the books from the, you know, a zombie apocalypse. So you should have like the 50 caliber machine gun. You should have everything there.
Think. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Shovel with a razor edge on it. You know.
Right.
Yep. I've researched the hell out of it, but I don't own. I have some pepper spray on my keychain. That's about as far. as I've gone so far.
Yeah, we won't tell though if you actually do have an arsenal of post-apocalyptic weaponry.
The year's not over yet. It may come to that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Don't remind me. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm in a fairly good vibe because I had a. Like I said, you know, we talked about it last week, but I mean, had a good energy coming off of Imaginarium and whatnot, and got in a
definitely.
Good. What I thought was going to be a week of full recovery, but Holly, we have not had family down in a long time, so because of everything going on with the, you know, obviously, and then Imaginarium prep and everything, so she had we had six people in the house toward the end of last week, and it was like, oh man, it was a bit crowded, but. She did get to spend time with her son and daughter as well. And I am glad to say that, you know, we talked a little bit about once on Martin. He had a growth detected in his lungs. And thankfully, again, it looks like it's not cancerous. So that was good news. And,
that's good.
But it's still a bit of a mess where he's going to have to be out of work for a while and possible surgery. But he was in for a doctor's appointment there with his wife. And then, of course, Holly's other daughter, Diana, came down with the three grandbabies. So, yeah, we had some little ones, three little ones.
Yeah, some quality time.
Well, you know about this. You know about this, Rebecca. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
When you have toddlers and infants and such.
Yep.
And they're, yeah. So, for me, it's a bit of a adjustment to my normal routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It works out.
I haven't had that ramp up period.
No, but the little one, the toddler, just I think is like thinks I'm, for whatever reason, she just either fascinated with me, amused by me, or something. But yeah, the little toddler just like loves to hang out with me. So it was like,
aww. Tiny children can still read people. You know, they are still very open and very innocent, and they can read people. So if a child is drawn to you, that means you have a really good energy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I do get along with all three, and the infant does not cry when I hold the infant, and the six-year-old our nickname for me is El Padre, and that, yes, that does come from the Mel Gibson movie. I forget, it's the one with Mark Wahlberg in it. You know, I'm talking about Martin and Will Ferrell. And, oh, God, what was that? Let's see. I'm trying to remember. Will Ferrell in
one.
It. It's like Daddy's Coming Home and Daddy's Coming Home 2.
Yeah.
No, Daddy's Coming Home and Daddy's Coming Home 2. And I think that's what they're called. But they're fun, like, light comedy movies. But Mel Gibson plays one of the grandfathers. And John Lithgow, I think, is the other one. And but Mel Gibson, he's El Padre. That's what his name is.
Yeah.
And so I figured that I can live with that. I don't really want to have the G word applied to me. I still feel too young to use the G word.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad they call me El Padre.
The one where like Mark Wahlberg is like the cool new stepdad and he's like hip and fun and everything? That looked like a fun movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the one I'm thinking of. But it's awesome. But yeah, Mel Gibson plays a hilarious role in it. He's like the super cool, super suave, you know, a grandfather, but he doesn't like to be called grandfather, so it's El Padre.
He's like the young grandfather. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I like that. That's kind of cool. I'll take that.
Yep.
Oh, man. But we're gonna have fun tonight, and folks, when we get done with our sponsor recognition, we are going to have call-ins tonight, open line night. 619-639-4616 is the call-in number. You can find that on the actual show page. That call-in line number is on the show page that you log in to listen to the show and all that. 619-639-4616. So get that ready, and please do call in. We definitely want to hear from folks tonight and have a good time on the show. Keep things positive, happy, and a good discussion, hopefully with some good creative topics or whatever you'd like to talk about. But, before we get on to that phase, though, it'd probably be a good idea to recognize our awesome sponsors, which we have two tonight, and I am pulling up their spots as we speak. And one is Sandy Lender, who we did have a great visit from last week on the Imaginarium Look Back Review. And then the second sponsor of tonight is the one, the only, Ren Garcia, and he will definitely ask us if we're weird enough for him again, and we will answer, folks. But first, I will play Sandy's spot, and we'll use the version with a little bit of thunder in the background.
Good stories take us beyond ourselves. When you need a diversion from reality, fantasy author Sandy Lender offers a host of enticing worlds and exciting adventures to whisk you away. Follow the author page for Sandy Lender on Amazon to discover new worlds, new creatures, new heroines, and new positive stories. Seek out your favorite today.
Thank you, Sandy Lender. And she has been just a writing juggernaut lately. She's been finishing projects left and right, so be sure to check her author page out, because she's probably got a new releases coming out nearly daily the way she's been writing lately. But now we will go to the man himself, Ren Garcia, and hopefully as 2021 rolls around, he'll be able to join us for that next Imaginarium. But here is Ren.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes, you absolutely are, Ren. And
of
I think,
course.
yes, you agree. Daniel agrees, and we answer that in the affirmative every single time. But thank you. Thank you, Ren. You're the best, man. And check out his YouTube episodic audiobook. Yes, that is exactly what I am saying. Ooh. It is. It's his, he has one of his novels from the League of Elders series broken up as an audiobook in segments on YouTube, and they have cool sound effects and graphics that go along with it, and it's
cool.
On Ren Garcia's YouTube channel. So check that out.
I'll have to check that out.
Most certainly. And I'm trying
to
see. I
just finished the audiobook.
Yes, tell us.
And it took me forever. I felt bad, but I wanted to do a shout-out. It's the Tybee Island H-Bomb. I listened to it on Audible. It's by Michael Houghton. Really, really good. I recommend. It's incredibly, incredibly entertaining, great characters, great storytelling, etc.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
Tybee Island H-Bomb.
And a new award winner, too, I might add. Yeah, he ended up winning that category in the Imagines.
Awesome.
So the thriller category.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And
yeah,
he's got
I've been
a sequel coming
a
out.
Lot, so I've been listening to a lot more audiobooks.
So, be ready, too. His sequel comes out right at about Thanksgiving. So right before
nice.
The big shopping
okay.
weekend, or traditional shopping weekend.
Very cool.
But that's
very
when
cool.
his next one in that series does come out. And it's got some of the same characters that you've come to love already. So there'll be some
nice.
Continuity, but a whole new adventure.
cool.
So
cool.
That's awesome. But, phone lines are open, folks, so feel free any time to call in. Other than that, we will continue to chatter on our end, so feel free to call in.
Banter.
Yes, banter. We do these once in a while. Because I think it's good to open the lines up and let folks in the audience that don't, you know, may not want to come and do a whole show, but might want to come in and visit for a little bit. It's always good to have an open line tonight. And you never know what's going to happen. And we've had Rob Hoff show up on one before. Yeah, it's crazy. But I think go ahead and keep the chatter going. We actually have a call. I'm going to screen it real quick, and we'll see who's here.
Okay. So what are you up to, Daniel?
I am up to about 270 pounds. It's 6'3"
Okay. Now, is that including the top hat?
A wee thing. That's, you know.
Yeah. Just a smackerel.
Well, Daniel, I've got a treat for you. And what is that?
Go ahead. We're waiting.
No. Yet. The one, the only young Will Hutcherson, a writer to watch in the future, has called in. He did forewarn me about this, and he has followed through. So without further ado, I will bring him onto the show. Will, your mic is live. Welcome. Thanks for being the first brave caller.
Are we on the internet?
No,
well,
we're sitting down.
Excellent.
On the phone.
Yeah, all I know is I have this headset plugged into a phone, plugged into a board, so that's all I can, you know, that's it. But I'm here.
That is awesome.
How are you, sir?
it's been a time.
Folks, if you haven't heard the story yet, he is the only member of his family, sister, father, mother, were unfortunately caught COVID, the actual, you know, virus itself. And Will was the only one to so far be unscathed, as far as I know. So.
And everyone's
clear
now. Everyone's clear now. I have been in the house.
Well, that's good.
For like 2 months straight.
I ran his dad a bottle of Larceny when he got it and left it. We of course didn't, you know, get to interact with him directly, but I did did a mission for him to get him some bourbon. So we did participate in that. But yeah, Trevor's awesome. Yeah, his dad is actually, some of our people remember him as one of our regular security guards at Imaginarium. He's a guy that many of our attendees have met. And then Will, you've met him at the 7-Star Press table. You've seen him in panels, and he is he is a very talented writer. And I hope, Will, you're calling because you can tell us that you've finished something here or making progress on something. My fingers are
making
crossed.
Progress.
Excellent.
Making progress.
Excellent.
Slow and plodding, and
it happens.
Painful. But it is progress.
Mm-hmm. Writing is not meant to be fun.
Yeah, I don't know who put that idea into my head.
Yeah. No, if it's painful, it means you're doing it right.
I don't know if I am. It's the thing.
Well, see, before the show, RG was telling us that you were her parole officer or something like that. I don't know exactly what she was saying.
Parole officer.
Yeah.
No, I was saying that you kept me company last year at, I was table sitting for Nathan Day and Thomas Moore, and all the cool kids had gone to the Books and Booze, and so Will and I were table neighbors while everyone else was at Books and Booze, and, you know,
we were table neighbors for most of the day whenever Nathan had a panel. I went to Books and Booze and brought you a whiskey.
That's right, you did. That's right. No, okay. So I was by myself during Books and Booze. I was table sitting both the 7-Star. But yeah, we were table neighbors for most of the rest of the time.
Yes. Yes, that was fun.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of pissed that it didn't happen this year.
Well.
Well, Books and Booze are the...
Both.
The in-person?
Books. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
so,
with digital Imaginarium, we could do Books and Booze, you know, all 3 days if we wanted to.
There you go, yeah.
So,
we almost
I don't know
could,
if David could handle 3 days of it.
No, I don't know about that, yeah.
He still has other things to do, Will. A good night of Books and Booze would not help out.
We just
have
our own Books and Booze party. If you're sitting at home in your library drunk and your spouse comes in, they're like, what are you doing? They're like, no, don't worry, it's Books and Booze. You know?
Yes. So that's what everybody's using as an excuse now. I see.
Yeah, second daughter tonight, honey.
And so, some of them came in and was wondering what they were doing this time.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's reasonable. This is.
It is.
It was a unique event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always unique. No Books and Booze session is the same, but you are a connoisseur of bourbon now, Will. So yeah, you. I know you will have no trouble, enjoying yourselves at these now.
I mean, I'm gonna out myself here, but I've grabbed a sip or two in the past.
The fifth of which now?
No, which we're all assuming you're 21, right?
Yeah, he's 21.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's legal.
I mean,
he's
live
legal
on the air, right?
Yeah, he is legal. Mm-hmm. Don't let him claim otherwise. I know for a fact he's legal. But I was actually at his 21st
there.
Birthday party, and it was glorious.
Yeah,
they had high quality Knob Creek bourbons and all kinds of stuff, and the best meatballs and food items. I think that, it was glorious. It was one of those kind of parties, bourbon and great food and great company. But that was. That was memorable. But
yes,
well, I remember it. So,
while we're talking about that, I was talking to one of the sales reps for this company called Blanton's. And because of COVID and stuff, Blanton's is up to about $100 a bottle.
Wow.
Well, I'm screwed then. that's definitely, takes it
screwed.
Way
I
out of my
44 cents
my hopes and dreams. Yeah, it's about where I'm at. But yeah, I'm gonna have to stick on the lower end of the shelf. But that's dismaying news. That's like around 60.
If you drink enough of it, it won't matter what shelf it came off of.
That's an excellent point. Up until you your clothes are in tatters and you have to basically get someone else to buy it for you.
Yeah.
Because you've been in there so many times, they're just like, nope. You can't. I'm
sitting on the curb out front of the liquor store saying, please, sir, may I have another?
Yeah. Holding a little bowl.
I didn't want to bring Oliver Twist into this, but
yeah. Well, if it's $100 a bottle now, I may have to resort to Oliver Twist tactics to get some now. Blanton's. I can't go with
one.
My entire life without getting it. Because it was about 60-ish
bottle.
Well, hang on to that, and save me at least one pour. Because that's dismaying news.
Yeah,
it was about $60 bucks, around $60.
$60 bucks a bottle.
Yeah.
And he said that it's gone up almost every month since COVID.
COVID.
Wow.
Dear me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so who's buying
my God.
Stock?
I know.
Bang, shit.
You would buy in Buffalo Trace because that's the parent of Blanton's, so part of their family.
Well, I have a new one for you if you're interested in it. Buffalo Chip is made in Nashville, and it's
Buffalo Chips are made in Nashville.
It's nicknamed It's named after the Sturgis Rally, where they hold the campground and everything. They hold it in, and
Sturgis. Yeah.
But it's called Buffalo Chip, and it's made in Nashville. And I may be doing some live events with them after I get the trolley done.
Cool.
So.
Right.
Fantastic, man. Yeah, Will's gonna have
sounds
to shoot down there
like
and
a trip.
Take a ride in your trolley. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, and he's going to swing by and pick up Rebecca, then come up to Lexington and get us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're off to a big
what
road
did we
trip.
Say? We said we were going to watch, was it Waterworld? We were going to have a Waterworld watching party.
Oh, that would be excellent.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember it.
Oh, my God, I need in on that.
I couldn't remember what movie it was we were talking about, but yeah, it was Waterworld, I think.
I know the movie wasn't considered a smashing hit, but I love watching that movie. That is such a fun movie.
I loved it.
Yeah,
it's a train wreck.
I'm a closet Kevin Costner fan. I don't care what anybody says.
He
deserves every single
great.
One of them.
Dances with Wolves. I mean, I could reel off a bunch of movies of his I love, but yeah.
Yeah,
he's always been top notch.
Robin
Hood,
absolutely. Yep. I still need to see The Postman. I haven't seen The Postman yet.
Yeah, the Bodyguard.
Was he in Robin Hood in Men in Tights?
No, he was
Robin
Hood. Prince of
Thieves. Robin Hood. Yeah, Prince of
Thieves. Prince of
Thieves. Men in Tights was Clary
Elwood.
I'm pretty
sure Men in Tights is the parody of that movie.
Yes.
Pretty sure.
But Cary Elwes was in a legendary movie, Princess Bride, so let's not forget Cary Elwes.
They recently did a Zoom live reading of The Princess Bride. And I haven't seen any of it, but I've got to get a hold of it someday, somehow.
It was legendary.
We showed Holly 6-year-old.
The movie or the book?
Both.
Have you ever read the book?
I've read the book.
I have. Not in a long time. I did a long time ago, but not recently.
It's a hard book to get through.
It really kind of is,
a fascinating case of the movie makes the content, more consumable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the fashion that it's made.
Yeah.
I don't want to quite say that the movie is better than the book, but the movie is different from the book.
Pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
But most movies are different from books and stuff if they were written from a book. So that does not surprise me that you say that because I've read a lot of books like take The Hobbit, Return of the King and all that. Those were so different than what was on the screen in a way.
Hobbit egregiously so, though.
Oh, very much so, yeah. And, the entire second movie was, one sentence from the book.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. I mean, I enjoyed them. They were entertaining. They were just wildly different.
If you could turn your brain off.
Yeah.
I've never read the books and everything.
You're still
young.
You haven't learned how to do that yet.
That's true.
A lot of folk that are quite younger than me that can turn their brains on.
Oh, I know.
Most of the kids that are younger than you have turned off their brains. That's
fair.
There's
quite a bit of hope in the people that were born around 96 to 98.
Mm-hmm.
96 to 98.
I was in college during those years. So let me turn up my ear horn. I think my shows are on.
Awesome.
Let me get my walker.
I'm the kid that grew up watching shit that no kid today would ever consume.
Like
Beeps
what?
And Butthead?
Such as, you can't leave us on a cliffhanger. What did you watch, Will?
It was stuff, it was Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. PBS.
PBS.
Yes.
So
wait,
we're talking
PBS
Bob Ross.
PBS or TBS?
PBS.
Okay. Public Broadcasting System.
Yes. The public broadcasting service that most people in other countries don't know we have.
Right.
Because it's so terribly underfunded.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah, you can't go wrong with Bob Ross, that's for sure.
No.
Oh. Bob Ross,
Mr. Ross
was the original ASMRist.
Yes.
And
he was.
The British
is cool.
Show,
I did not know that.
The Summer Grapes is my favorite show, period.
Mm. Yeah.
That's an interesting
Last
one.
Of the Summer Grapes.
Have any of y'all seen
that before?
Yeah, I know what you're
I've
talking about.
It,
those old people
it.
In the little town.
Yeah.
And it came on
just,
right after The Vicar of Dibley and Keeping Up Appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We love those shows. We watch them. We watch them regularly.
That's awesome.
And Young Hyacin?
Yes. Oh, gosh. What is that? Yes. What is that's Keeping Up Appearances.
Keeping Up Appearances is when she's older, but the Young Hyacin?
Oh, the young
girl
one,
that plays
no.
That, you've never seen Young Hyacin?
No, I haven't. I'm intrigued.
Oh, you need to look it up. It
okay.
Pearl went on to do a bunch of other things, too. But
I sure will.
It's just crazy stuff that she does in that show.
I love
that, you know, it's British comedy. I mean, if you love British comedy or you don't. And if you grew up with Monty Python like I did, you know. It's,
oh, God, yes. I love British comedy.
Dave
Allen, you know, Benny Hill, you know, all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, that.
Yeah.
They had back in the 70s and stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the things I love in comedy. It's just the desire to be silly.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Yes, and we need
I'll
good silliness
Carlin
nowadays.
I'll watch Carlin to the day I die. But when it comes to silly, nobody beats
Mm-mm.
Monty Python troupe.
No.
Oh, masters.
Well, have you seen Cleese's
Mr. Bean?
Ewan?
Beg pardon?
Have you seen Cleese's new show that he's in?
No,
it's called
I have
Sunset
not.
Or something
John
like
Cleese,
that?
No.
I think
no,
it's called Sunset. And it's on PBS. And
okay.
It's funny. It's, you know, he's married. He's got, you know, his wife and everything. The son is in a divorce and everything like that. And it's just John Cleese comedy. You know, it's...
That's awesome. I mean, he can just stand there and be funny.
No more, but funny. That's the question.
Do what, Will?
Said, is it... This parent is no more of a funny question.
Did you ask a question, Will?
Yeah.
I think that your last word, I think, got kind of garbled.
All right, I'll repeat it one more time for the queen.
Yes, one more time for us poor folks.
The is this new Cleese comedy as fun? Is it on a level that's as funny as the entire rant about the carrot?
Danny?
Probably not, but he is portraying a John Cleese character. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, the satire, just one-liners and everything that he throws out there, the dry humor,
mm-hmm.
you know, that Cleese is
known
for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
excellent.
Like the one that I watched the other day and everything, the son, he's trying to sell his house. Well, they had found out that he's supposed to have dry rot up in his attic. So the son goes up in the attic with this other guy. He's like, you know, I don't, you know, what does dry rot look like and everything? He goes, I don't know, you know. And John Cleese comes into the house with somebody else. And while he's there, the guy's like, you know, he's like, I'm going to charge you like double the price. He goes, that's fair enough. You know, and the son falls through the ceiling in the bedroom with just his legs hanging out. He goes, do the legs come with the house and everything? Yeah, they come with it.
That's a good one.
Nice.
Nice.
Very nice. Speaking of satire,
that's so funny.
Which is very hard to come by and has been for the past like 5 years. Have any of you heard anything about Jim Carrey's new book?
No.
Came out like
new
a month
book?
Or two
no.
ago.
No.
Huh.
Yeah. He wrote a satire that I've heard is incredible, and I want to pick it up so bad.
That sounds intriguing.
It's a satire of just about anything you can come up with in Western civilization. Like any of the curiosities of Western civilization are touched upon in that book. And
what's it called?
Not having read it myself. Oh, shoot. I cannot remember for the life of me.
Well, I mean, if it's Jim Carrey, I'm sure it's easy to find.
Yeah.
It shouldn't
be at all.
Yes, I have heard something about that. They said something about it the other day on TV. What was it?
Mm-hmm. I always thought he was kind of underrated as an actor.
As an actor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he's,
I mean, he does serious roles. Yeah.
And he's done enough serious stuff, yeah, that he should be... I mean, even just the Truman Show itself is just heartbreaking.
Yep.
Man in the Moon. Yeah.
Very much like Robin Williams.
He lost my attention when he did the MTV Awards, and he won the award, and he shared it with, you know, another person that was nominated, which was himself. another actor that was just as good as him and everything that, you know, he thinks, you know, should have had just as much opportunity to win this award as he did. And, you know, he's running up and down the stairs, you know, sharing it with himself. And I'm just like, okay. You know, these other actors were, you know, extremely well, you know, well-known actors that were up for the award.
Yeah.
And just sort of like a slap in the face to anybody that, you know, else that was up for it, that he was only one that, you know, rightfully deserved the award. And
that was his style of comedy.
I must say that with all these folks, they're not all, they're all missing at least a screw here or there. I mean, these kind of folks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And besides, that was, you know, that could have been, you know, 20-odd years ago for all I know. You know, I can't remember what the last MTV Awards was.
Yeah, Rebecca's off.
It wasn't recently.
Yeah. He's definitely a different dude now.
Yeah.
Rebecca makes a good point, though. He has done several roles that have showcased, you know, that he has a much broader spectrum than, you know, what he was, you know, originally popular for.
Yeah.
Definitely a good actor. No matter what you may think of him, I mean, he is definitely a talented actor.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from his talent. I just, you know, I've watched probably most of his movies, but that just, you know, put a burr under my saddle, so to speak.
I mean,
absolutely.
It's understandable.
Most actors are usually only good at one thing, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know what you mean.
I mean, this is just a layman's opinion here, but I would say that would be the kind of point of that bit, is that recognizing his own broad spectrum of abilities. But, you know, that's 20 years in the past, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably not a lot of the other people nominated had as broad of a skill set as he did.
The ones that were nominated with him, I think, were like Robin Williams and somebody else, and he won the award.
Yeah.
You know, but he was nominated for two different movies that year.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah, so he was in there twice, kind of. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's an easy joke to go for. And when you're when you're sharing the nomination with Robin Williams, Robin Williams would get the joke, and he would have been tickled by it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, and
yeah.
He's another one that went on to showcase himself beautifully and God, Good Will Hunting, that Poet Society, Patch Adams. I mean, on and on and on. Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah, he played some creepy character there. Yeah.
One-hour photo. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you never seen that
totally.
Reel?
Cage, yep.
Yeah, showed lots of multifaceted ability.
The last movie that he appeared in, which came out, I want to say a few months after his death, something like that, was really good. Can't remember the name of it, but...
Chase that one down.
It was a classic.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah,
it was,
absolutely.
It was another, bereaved father story, I think. Which, for a guy who had never lost a child, he played a bereaved father really well. Because I think he did it in one other movie.
Yeah, and I'd be remiss to not mention What Dreams May Come, which is actually one of my top five favorite movies of all time.
Yes.
Which I just cannot watch that movie without it punching me in the feels. I mean, it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that one gets me every time.
And it's so visually stunning. I mean, just the special effects,
my God,
the cinematography of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extraordinary movie.
That film is a modern Dante.
It is. I'm going to mix things up a little bit. We're going to, since we only have a few of us on, I'll go ahead and just bring him into the conversation. We do have another caller on the line.
Yeah.
I have investigated. And again, folks, 619-639-4616. This is your chance to banter with us tonight. But I will bring on a writer that is quite a character and a regular listener of the show, and definitely has some excellent works of his own in out there. Clayton Barnett, you are on the show, and hope you're doing well, sir.
Oh, good heavens! I almost fell asleep.
Ambushed
you.
<point.
Yeah.
laughs> That's our
did.
Goal to surprise you.
Greetings, Stephen, Daniel, and everyone else.
Hello.
How are you all this evening?
Evening.
We're doing good.
You're doing good. Doing good, my friend.
Party, party, party.
We're discussing
what
dreams may come.
I'm trying to remember why we originally called in, and it was almost 30 minutes ago. And
yeah, we kept you
working since noon and writing since 1 o'clock. It escapes me.
Well, hey, at least you're getting some writing in. That's good. Every day, just a little bit. But
exactly. If you had liked one of my more recent posts, and I unfortunately realized over the last 3 days that when I was writing that, as Pope Pius XIII said, that absence is presence, all that did was provoke my characters to the point where they got so angry they decided not to talk to me for the last 3.5 days. And so
characters
I had this
will do that.
Dry spell. And so I, while walking the dog this morning, realized that obviously I need to not once again try to write what I think the story is and simply knuckle under and tell their story as they give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, I know Rebecca can agree with that, I'm sure. And I have the same issue myself, so... They demand attention and you go with it. And yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you can't impose on them. Yeah, when the flow is there, it's there. And
yeah,
I wouldn't. Characters would talk to me.
Yeah, of course, you Stephen have an idea, having copy edited the first two books of this trilogy, and I was halfway through the second, finished up a huge battle scene down by Columbus, Georgia, and thought, okay, to do things different. So I do try to do things a little different in each of my books. I'm going to take the camera lens off of the main character and focus it on those around her. And I wrote one transitional chapter, and after that, the rest of the story simply stopped. I think I've simply invested far too much in the main character to completely remove her from the focus, but I still want to try to draw in these centripetal elements that are around her and then tie it all up, because this is supposed to be a three-book trilogy, and I'm in the second half of it already, and somehow draw all this together while her body lies broken in a field hospital and her mind is occupying an expert system. So it's one of those, I simply need to shut up and get out of the way.
Yeah, trying to focus on other characters is such a slippery slope. It can either lead to not actually knowing where you're going, to a full stop like you experienced, or...
Well, that's when the character who wants your attention grabs you by the chin and draws your head back, so you're eyeball to eyeball, and she says, no, you look at me now. You're looking at me. Yeah. Don't look over there. You're looking at me.
And yes, trust me, Faustina, even though she's only 19, because she's demi-human and pushing as shit, yes, I'm getting a lot of that. But what Will said is quite correct. I mean, after all, she was a minor character in a book of mine from October. She was Gary Hartman's younger sister, and I was so taken by her that I made enough notes to go, well, where can I go with her? And I have multiply before turned secondary characters into novels themselves, and Faustina is just another example of that.
Yes.
And that I think trying to do that inside of a story was a rather large, not large, I mean, it's only been 4 days, but it was a significant mistake of mine that stopped me in my tracks, which, as all of us know as writers, is not where you want to be. So I did hack out about another half chapter today, but in the back of my mind, I know that I can't push her off stage completely. I'm going to have to bring her back in ways that I simply don't realize yet, and it's just a matter of me doing what I'm told. I mean, after all, I've been married 30 years. If I don't know how to do what I'm told by now, Christ, I don't know what goes on.
That's awesome.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, Rebecca, has Ash, I'm guessing that you, when you said characters grab you by the chin, I'm saying Ash, maybe? Is that we were you?
Yeah. In fact, just this morning, okay, so I don't know if any of you, I don't think any of you guys have read the first book, but if you have, you know that there's a major kind of bomb drop about halfway through. And so with the second book, I was like, well, there's not going to be a major bomb drop on this. And I'll be damned if she didn't show up this morning in my chapter and, like, do the thing that I didn't think she was going to do. And, like, all I was doing was tapping on the keyboard. I wasn't writing the story. I was just tapping on the keyboard, and then I finished the chapter, and I was like, well, holy crap, she went and did it. So yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, there's some major bombs dropping in the second one as well.
And that would be Rising Ash is the book that she speaks of, book one.
Yes.
So go buy it, everybody, right now.
So Yeah. And it's one of those where people, like, message me. Like, when they get to that part in the book, they message me, and they're like, what did you do? You know, and I'm like, I just wrote it. I didn't. It's not my fault.
Yeah, my problem is currently with what I've been working on is that my central character affects a lot of things around him, as he's wont to do as a central character. And mm-hmm. I have to focus on how he affects the people around him. But mm-hmm. the problem is, he just wants me to tell his story. I'm like, no. We're doing that, but you know, I gotta talk about your you know, your best friends and your relationships and your mm-hmm. on again, off again love interest. Like, these people are characters too. Hold on, they've got stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That make them who they are.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like I'm switching to their point of view or anything. It's just I need to flesh them out, and he won't let me.
Their time will come.
I've been there.
And similar to that, oftentimes, besides just, as I've said before, sitting in the theater watching the movie with the laptop in my lap and writing down what they show me, I also get these almost iconic images, and I'm wondering,
yes.
Well, where am I supposed to put that in? Because,
right.
In fact, I know exactly what I'm going to have my cover designer, who is in Saxony in central Germany, make for the third book. And the problem is that scene hasn't happened yet, and I don't
mm-hmm.
know mm-hmm. how I get there, but obviously
mm-hmm.
I'm meant to in some way. So
mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that's probably another, I would estimate, 10,000 words out, because it's almost mm-hmm. a transfiguration scene with
yes.
Faustina ascended partly as a goddess, and her adversary in this third book, Alexandra, submitting to her, but in a gentle way, almost with her head down in Faustina's lap. And it's very
mm-hmm.
odd. Because right now, the adversary has already made two assassination attempts on the main character and her family, including young children.
Mm.
How do they reach this reconciliation point?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and yet I know that image is frozen in my head, and
yes.
how do I get there from where I am now, besides just, well, of course, well, how I write, drinking alcohol and pounding at the keyboard.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yep.
That exact phenomenon has been the plague of my existence for, about 10 years.
You guys are in good company, because that's how C.S. Lewis wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Really?
Yeah, the story is he had a scene in his mind of a little girl not wearing a coat, walking through a snowy forest with a fawn next to her. And the two of them walking together, you know, kind of out of sorts with their surroundings, because
mm-hmm.
it's covered in snow. And so he built the story around that scene.
That is awesome.
You know,
I'll take that as a definite compliment, because there's been times I have been told that I write in a style reminiscent of Lewis, because I, unlike, say, his colleague Tolkien, who describes every goddamn leaf in the forest as
yes.
Lewis,
and it's beautiful.
Says, okay, there was a forest. The sun was up, and he goes.
Right.
And it's like, we can all see that in their head. And he goes forward, and I do the same
mm-hmm.
thing. As Stephen well knows, that I just lay the immediate. This is the situation. Go. And oddly enough, the very first thing I ever wrote on November 3rd, 2016, for NaNoWriMo, was a young woman, 19, walking away from the camera, basically, in a rocky
mm-hmm.
desert. And I didn't know where she was. I didn't know who
mm-hmm.
she was. and I had no idea why she was there. And so I wrote, she walked through the rocky desert trying to understand her surroundings. And if 23 days later I hadn't finished my first novel. It was shitty as all hell, but did it.
Yep.
It's simply, as you pointed out, it's simply a matter of here's the image. You've been given this gift. You can call it by your subconscious or you can call it God. I tend to call it both. Tell the story.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Well, you mentioned Tolkien, the Hobbit kind of generated in the same manner. I mean, he started with the vision of a rotund, comfortable little fellow living in a hole in a hill, basically, and then kind of grew into the Hobbit. Yeah, I mean, that's... It starts that way. It's crazy how it happens. I mean, I had similar...
It's so interesting to me how different The Hobbit is from The Lord of the Rings stylistically. I mean, I know it's the same world and everything, but stylistically, how they're so different.
Oh, yeah, very different. Very different.
I can understand. I mean, stylistically, if you look at my very first novel, when I was still trying to find my feet, I mean, I never wrote anything besides emails and technical reports as an engineer until I was 49 years old. And after the fourth law, four novels later, I was able to write a complex two-novel series, the Saga of Nicole Five, stretching over probably 110,000 words. So obviously, Tolkien grew into that as well, became more comfortable with the own world he was creating. And I've done much the same. I mean, just as he had Middle Earth, or Niven has Known Space, or Pornell has the Codominium, I've got Machine Civilization, and it's a place I'm comfortable going back to. It's a place my readers are comfortable going back to, and I can constantly look into new corners and find new things and new people to write about.
That's a good point.
And Tolkien became the academic over his career because, I mean, God, after he did the trilogy, you know, he got knee-deep in the history, and, you know, he had things like the Silmarillion, and I mean, like I said, you know, it just went on to a whole nother dimension even after that, you know, with the depth of the
He invented
the
entire
world
languages.
Building.
Yeah, he almost invented languages is astonishing.
Mm-hmm. Shit you not, he almost wrote Game of Thrones like 30 years before.
Nice.
It wouldn't surprise me.
There's an old manuscript of like the first few pages of a sequel to The Lord of the Rings.
That's true. Good point.
And in his letters, he talks about how if he continued writing that story, it would eventually go against everything he believed in. So he stopped.
Interesting.
Which, you know,
I don't think I read that letter.
Good people win, and good things happen to them because they are good. Bad people have bad things happen to them because they are bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is the exact opposite of Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I kind of wish things worked like Tolkien said, but definitely Game of Thrones definitely is not that type of book. Yeah.
It's just that old English imperial Christian mindset.
Which I have.
Well, that's where his roots were. Yeah. That's definitely. Yeah. And Lewis also has that. Of course, Tolkien
and
Lewis.
Yeah, and Lewis were contemporaries, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
And,
they
drank together.
Inklings.
With Charles Williams there, another brilliant writer who was part of that group. Yeah, and I would have loved to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, Williams was probably the most cynical of the three, but I honestly think he acted as a brake on the other two on occasion. Wasn't he the one that when Tolkien would read some of his work, and Williams would say, "Oh my God, not the damn elves again."
Yep. or poor Lewis would have to endure a barrage of why allegory is awful by Tolkien, you know, when he did his stuff. So, but yeah, to be a fly on the wall while they were drinking pints in mm-hmm. England back then, boy, that would have been fun to listen to them.
They're poor.
Because in a certain way, I'm faced with the same thing. Because I like putting bounds on myself, and one of the bounds I put is as a Roman Catholic, I try to imagine that any single book, I don't do it because I don't have the time, but any book that I write would be submitted for review either as a nihil obstat, which means there is nothing, no objection when it comes to the Catholic faith, and then from a bishop, imprimatur, meaning this should be published. And I'm pretty sure everything I've ever written would probably pass nihil obstat, meaning I don't contradict my Catholic faith. But certainly what I'm working on now, the American Imperium series, because Faustina is thinking of herself as a co-equal of God, and also my romance horror, Cursed Hearts, where you have very explicit premarital sex, that would not be imprimatur.
Right.
And however, the characters do, at least the Catholic character of the relationship realizes, what I'm doing is a sin, but she just didn't care. But by adding
how
those restrictions on myself, I honestly think it makes me a better writer because it forces me to focus. Otherwise, it's like a river suddenly flooding out into a plain, and it can go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I create certain bounds for myself that way.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, world building, you have to follow. You have to stick to your rules consistently in the world that you set. I mean, because that's one of the big things that I see that writers make mistakes on in series is suddenly, they establish rules for their world, and then book two or book three, all of a sudden they jump the shark and do something like totally breaks the rules they set. And it really throws the reader off. And and that can happen.
Well,
yeah, the focus is very important.
Did that between the movie and the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Because The Hobbit was just a fairy tale that he wanted to tell his children.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the book, when Gandalf confronts Bilbo about the ring, he's just like, there are tons of these things. You shouldn't mess with them, but I'm going to let you keep. Whereas when we get to Lord of the Rings, turns out there's only 20 of them. And the one he got happens to be the one that one of the most evil beings in all creation.
Main one, yeah.
Right. And all they needed to do was fly it by eagle straight to Mordor and drop it in. Could have been over
don't,
in like
don't even
two
pop it off like a damn dive bomb out of a dog.
There was some
the
reason though. There
the,
was
the
a reason the eagles didn't show up until the final chapter.
I mean,
I forget what it was. Yeah. Well, the
Tolkien world.
Well,
does,
and that
just does shit.
There's a theory that when, at least in the movies, when Gandalf had been struck down by the Balrog and he was falling into the thing, and he hangs onto the edge and he says, "Fly, you fools!" Like he was telling them, "You guys are idiots,
bullshit.
Call the eagle,
I know what you're
and you'll have this done in 3 days.
That's a good. I will never watch that scene the same way again. Oh my God. You've just done it.
I've heard that,
Rebecca.
I've heard that theory for like 10 years.
Oh my God, that's
so now,
hilarious!
Now, if they remade the movie, he'd be shouting "Uber, you fools!"
Right?
Yeah, Uber, you fools. That's just about right.
And,
or Amazon honestly, drone. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I would be cool with a remake of those movies if they could keep themselves in check. The problem is they can't.
I get nervous when they tinker with these movies. Oh, man. Yeah.
I don't like them when they do remakes of movies that came out when I was already an adult. It makes me feel old.
Yeah. Well.
That's one thing. Another is a remake the thing that, developed your entire childhood.
That, too. But reboots never tend to eclipse the. I mean, they don't. I mean, they always, most times, most overwhelmingly, they fall short. They just don't. Yeah.
Starface is the only one I know.
I mean, I can go down a big list from Fright Night to Texas Chainsaw Massacre to, I mean, just all the way down.
That's a disgusting
reboot.
Slashers is a different topic.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. It's designed to be consumed mass media.
No, like Clash of the Titans, even. I mean, that was the original, even if it was a little cheesier. The first is better.
Oh.
I mean, by far.
Yeah.
The first one was a classic.
Yeah.
That was my first exposure to Laurence Olivier.
Absolutely.
Wow.
When I was like
you are a kid.
6 or 7, maybe.
Olivier.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Good stuff.
Like.
Yeah.
That was
my childhood. Yeah.
Well,
we're
17th Spider-Man by now.
I've lost count, to be honest.
Yeah.
There was
I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm happy with all the Spider-Man, but, you know, I thought Tobey Maguire was great, so.
He was.
And I take the perverse pleasure in having not seen any of them.
Oh, wow.
I honestly do believe the last time I was at a motion picture theater was probably for the third Lord of the Rings movie. And
motion
besides that, we don't have cable. My wife and I will watch Slice of Life anime in our basement, and we simply don't care.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I just want to verbally appreciate that you just said the phrase motion picture theater. That is everything.
That is classic.
I didn't say talkies. Well, that really would date me, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if you said talkies, that's more Daniel Dark's term for
right?
the movie.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
The talkies.
Yeah.
Talking movies now?
In talkies,
just
yeah.
Just a minute, I'm
going
to start shouting, you kids,
oh,
get
you
off
don't
my
even
lawn.
Know.
What really stuck out is you used the phrase motion picture theater and slice of life animes in the basement in the same...
I love
room.
It.
Yeah, that is excellent. Yeah. It's
like two ends of a spectrum.
Yep.
I guess the words we're looking for are juxtaposing the dichotomies.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect. Perfect.
Now we're cooking.
My mind has been broken for like 6 months, so forgive.
Well, I think a lot of us. But Well, Daniel's back there listening to his wax cylinders there on music and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We played the best music.
Yeah. So you're quiet, Daniel. I know you have thoughts on all this.
Well, I've been listening to all of it and everything, and one of the things that you haven't brought up is the fact that, like in Lord of the Rings, the Elfish language was a language that he had studied when he was in college. And,
yeah.
You know, it was more of a dead Nordic language.
Finnish.
You know, that he had used
as
the Elfish language.
Yeah,
Finnish,
which is closer to Finno-Ugric.
And not only that,
cool.
But the entirety of the Lord of the Rings is basically based off of the Finnish creation myth known as the Kalevala.
Yes.
Which is sung in poetry, read off of runestones. There are like three people in the world that can still do that.
Wow.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to tackle that in the new Amazon series. The version of creation
has
that
anybody
Tolkien has.
Seen the movie Tolkien?
I have not.
Yeah.
But I haven't
heard. No, is that the one
thing.
With...
I was afraid to.
It's the biopic,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see that.
I did, too.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way.
It's the kid from the X-Men about a boy and all that?
Yeah.
Nicholas maybe Holt. Someday I'll torrent it so I can skip through it if it's awful.
I wouldn't say it was awful from what I've heard. It's just like there's some interesting liberties taken.
Yeah, I figured you'd seen it, Will. And knowing you, you're usually good at keeping up with this kind of stuff.
I can't anymore. It's just too much.
Yeah, it was steep for a while on the rental. Hate that. The $20 rentals. Yeah. No.
Like I said, I got 44 cents.
Hey, that's better than earlier in the show. You had 24 cents earlier. So you've already gone up almost double your, you've almost doubled your holdings there.
Did I say 24?
You said 24 earlier. We've got you recorded.
I go through the couch or something.
Yeah, so
must be true.
You've almost doubled your money in an hour, so maybe we need to talk to you more.
How about
and
that?
Figure out how you do this. Yeah.
Me too. I'd love to know what's happening there.
Yeah, that ain't bad. But, I'm queasy whenever one of my iconic inspirations are portrayed in a film. Yeah, it does make me nervous. Like Shadowlands,
speaking
I will recommend if you ever get a chance to see C.S. Lewis.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins plays him, and it's a powerful movie.
Oh, that
it, yeah, it's not about his about his writing stuff as much as it's about his wife and dealing with her being sick and her passing. But it is an amazing movie, and
I
think it does justice to him.
I agree with you completely, Stephen. That was it was well done. I mean, they had to drop one of the kids out just to advance the plot as fast as they had to, but still, it was very honest to who he was and to his relationship with his wife Joy. That's
absolutely.
It was just that when the movie about Tolkien came out, almost 25 years later, I thought that being theater, the producers being who they are, that they would do great abuse to Tolkien and his deep Catholic faith, which I share with him. So I was reluctant to go to the theaters. And I've read some things that said they actually did a pretty good job. So I don't know if anyone here on with us now has seen it and could recommend it.
Yeah.
I think you're safe based on my view. I think Shadowlands was a fantastic presentation of C.S. Lewis's character.
I think they did a fairly honest portrayal, as they can in a modern movie of Tolkien. And I would say, watch it if you can. Yeah, it's not you're not going
to
get horrified.
I'd like to watch that
I can
one,
say that
yeah.
for sure. Yeah, it's not like he suddenly became like a pagan or something like that. they didn't do anything too crazy. Don't worry.
Well, I mean, he does have
talking
trees.
Pagan,
he
just Christianized
pagan beliefs. Yes, he does. And he does draw off of a lot of those older traditions for his mythical basis for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And he respected them.
It was weird at the time because those cultures were at risk of dying out.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So,
but yeah, he's definitely a godfather
of the
genre.
Finland.
Mm-hmm.
Right
but,
after
right
after the Nazi occupation.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
it wasn't fun to be in Finland during that time.
Finnish culture was on the verge of destruction, utter destruction.
Yeah.
Our ancestors have done to the natives here.
And now they rule the world of heavy metal. Go figure.
Exactly. What did you think was going to happen? These kids, a lot of these guys grew up being occupied by a hostile. Dictatorship.
Now they're exploding with great, great heavy metal music. Yeah, and Nightwish is one that we can thank. Yeah, for that. Thank Finland for. But one of my favorites. God, we have actually talked a lot about Tolkien tonight. All of a sudden, this is pretty cool. Yeah, poor Daniel. He's going, oh, God, they strayed from Victorian literature. Oh, dear.
Well, Speaking of antiquated motion pictures, I actually got a chance to watch Nosferatu presented the large screen with a live organist. Yes.
No
and
way.
It was amazing. That's... It was epic. Like the original with Max Schreck.
Like recently or is this older?
Well, I mean, it was a while ago. It was back when I still lived in Lexington. And the funny thing was, they were doing some kind of fundraiser to restore an old organ that was in the museum or something like that. So because it was Nosferatu and because it was a fundraiser, the audience was an equal mix of like goth kids who were fully decked out and like old blue-haired ladies who were like wearing
their finery.
So
oh
it was
my
like
God,
the two opposite
so cool.
ends of the spectrum. And it was amazing. Like, it was one of the greatest
I would love
experiences.
That. And you did call me or let me know this. Because we knew each other back then.
We did. I forget, like,
my God,
what stage of our friendship this was in.
Yeah. Okay, you get a pass on that. But, man, I would love this. I would have loved to have seen that. My God, that would have been because I love just watching, you know, classics like that. I mean, love them.
Yeah.
One is creepy even to this day. I mean, it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mhm. Well, and I recently watched White Zombie with Bela Lugosi. I did not realize what a national treasure Bela Lugosi is. I need to watch more of his movies. Because,
I
mean,
absolutely.
That is artistry. His performances are just pure artistry.
They are.
Especially in an interview of his in the late 1930s, they said, well, how did you come up with that accent for the vampire? And he said, I am from Hungary, Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
Why would I not talk this way? And everybody in Budapest talks this way. It's like, no, that's not a vampire accent. That's a Hungarian accent.
And not only that, but you could literally take a day trip to where that story originated. From Budapest. So it's not like
that's
he
true.
Was far off the mark. You can make a day trip out of it.
Yes, I have.
That's true. Oh, man. I would love to go back to that region.
My wife's family is from Budapest, so, yeah, we know that
Indeed.
Whole area from there over to Temesvar, and then even we never made it all the way down to Vlad Tepes's castle, which is hypothetically what it's based on, but still for the area in Transylvania, it's beautiful country.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That is so cool.
Just creepy as all hell.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And
the mecca for all the goth kids.
Something about that area of the world is fascinating.
The Carpathians, Eastern Europe, that region you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, technically, Stephen, that's Central Europe, but yes, I mean, the Balkans are the crossroads of east, west, north, south. And east, west, north, south, going back to the time of the Roman Republic, it's been the crossroads of the world.
Yeah.
Yep. See, now, I was actually born in Switzerland. Like, I entered this world in the country of Switzerland. So how does that connect to everything? Does this explain my, like, weird tendency towards, like, gothic stuff and vampires and castles and dragons?
No, it probably explains the fact that you need to work on clocks and make cheese.
Yeah.
Well, the cheese thing is there. The cheese thing is definitely there.
That's awesome.
Like, just be the handler of ungodly amounts of meat.
Well, you know, if you're Swiss, then you don't get into wars, and nobody tends to mess with you either. So it's a pretty good deal.
That's right. Because we have those knives that have screwdrivers on them or whatever.
Yeah.
The wine. We can open your wine bottles. We got you covered.
Yes. Awesome. Oh man, that's too good.
Oh my gosh. What, there's a joke. I have to tell you this joke. Do you know why everybody likes Switzerland so much?
I have not heard this one.
Well,
nope.
Well, the flag is a big plus.
Oh my god.
Okay, we can.
Oh, yeah.
Steven, press the button and get rid of her now.
Wah, wah, wah.
We can't do that to her. No.
Yes, you can.
That's actually not too bad. Daniel, I can hear Daniel chortling in the background there. You can hear him.
Yeah. Have you not listened to some of Steven's stuff that comes out?
My punniness? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, all you have suffered. Every one of you has suffered through one of my puns.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Tonight I'm just gonna let RG shine on the pun department.
Hey, I think I've peaked already.
Yeah, I think that's peak for especially for one evening.
Yes.
I mean, we could go down that rabbit hole, but it would take us to a dark place.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so you know, there's some people that will suffer tomorrow because I'm going to use that when I talk to a couple people tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I didn't make it up, but tonight.
What's that, Daniel? I'm laughing too hard. I didn't hear
you. Brought a Betty tonight.
No, I'm just listening to the wit and wisdom of our fine callers tonight and RG, and you know that's how it goes. You know, sometimes you just got absorbed. But I did get to talk some Tolkien.
We've had some great discussions.
Yeah.
I like this particular kind of.
I do.
Well,
I figured with
that happening this week and everything. Stephen would be talking about Eddie this week, so.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, leave it to you to bring up something depressing. Good God.
Well, he is the Victorian.
Oh man, he is. I was sad because. Okay, I'll just say I was really sad because I first thing I thought of was when I was like no more than 7 or 8 years old going to the Sheldon Park in Lexington to throw a baseball with my dad when I was in T-ball. I went to this place where they had like a little post thing in the park where you could post like flyers to, and somebody had carved this symbol into it. And I was like, Dad, what's that? And he was like, Oh, that's the logo for this real popular rock band called Van Halen. Literally was my first reference to Van Halen was my dad telling me what this logo was that was carved into this wooden post at Sheldon Park and in Lexington. And there not long after I got into rock and Van Halen was with me my entire this day. So I mean
epic.
I don't know I never met Eddie Van Halen. I saw Van Halen twice in concert. I didn't know the him, but it's always when you're huge into music, I mean it's definitely something that kind of leaves you in a melancholy state when you're really deep in the music like I am.
My dad, that was one of his early rock heroes, and when he found out, he nearly teared.
Oh, absolutely, and I understand it completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean you do. I mean,
that's an influence. Yeah.
I mean that's how I reacted when David Bowie passed on. I felt like I'd lost a friend. I mean it was weird. You know, I mean not to disrespect any relationship, but you know it becomes such an important part of your life.
Sure.
Well, when we lost Neil Peart earlier this year, it felt like losing a father.
Who's that now, Will? Sorry, you broke up
Neil
a little
Peart.
Bit. Oh yeah, for me, for Rush, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah,
Rush has been one of my top five favorite bands since the early '80s. So yeah, he was a huge part of my world. You know,
you remember
that way.
You remember July 4th, while it came to the conclusion that should have been the sign that this year was going to be hell.
Yeah. In a not quite funny, but yeah, kind of strange way. Yeah, that almost was a heralding January. That, yeah, it wasn't going to be a normal year. But yeah, that was January. That was January. And then, yeah, fortunately, this past, you know, a couple days back, you know, we heard about Eddie. And that's awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely a after Hendrix, I mean, I think he was the next big, like, master inspirer of guitar, you know, I mean,
yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hendrix definitely was, and I think Eddie Van Halen was the next one that took that pinnacle, you know, in terms of inspiring uncountable guitar players. Yeah.
And
yeah, he took things to the next level.
Not to try and listen to us or anything, but not even a month ago, Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, yes. I mean, that was heartbreaking.
And knowing that he gave us all that he did while he was fighting that battle makes him even more of a hero.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what floors me is a lot of these fellows, you didn't know that they were even that ill. Even Eddie Van Halen, nobody knew that he was that ill when it happened. They were even talking about a Van Halen reunion, like, coming in 2021.
Oh.
And nobody had talked about, I mean, there are rumors flying, but nobody knew he was that sick. And Neil Peart managed to keep it quiet. I mean, I know David Bowie did. He managed to keep it quiet. And, I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, it kind of floors you, you know, when it happens, because you don't even know it's coming.
Right now, I'm just assuming that any celebrity above the age of 40 has cancer and we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
It's sad but true. Yeah. It's kind of.
Well,
that's why you have to enjoy them while they're here.
But
you
Keith
really
Richards is still alive.
Oh, well, he's indestructible.
Somehow. Right.
For every time you smoke a cigarette or cigar, you add a life to Keith Richards' life.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
It's
and
true.
So, Daniel, you're helping.
And,
you're helping Keith
also,
your cigar
came,
work.
Absolutely.
When it came to a lot of the
talking, so
European celebrities and even the Van Halens, because they're coming from a Dutch background, is that cancer is simply not something you ever discuss with your family, much less outside of your family.
Mm-hmm.
So they tend to not get out, whereas Americans are more open about their medical problems. But that, especially cancer, I don't understand why, but I've seen this in my wife's family, is that if you have cancer, you shut your mouth. And I think that's why all of a sudden, oh, so-and-so died of cancer. I didn't know he was sick. That's
how things roll. Could be cultural,
Yeah,
because Neil was Canadian.
Exact opposite.
So.
Like, my grandmother, she was the exact opposite. Whenever so how are you today, Miss Taylor? Well, I got the cancer. And, like, no one really knew how to.
Okay.
Yeah, my grandmother was similar. She could
just
tell you whatever was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. She'd be like, well.
I'm pretty sure that's an
my
old
grandmother
stereotype at this point.
My grandmother just grin and pour a drink and say, but I'm not going to quit enjoying my life. She would tell
you
what was wrong, but she still would have fun. And she did make it to 83, so there's something there.
Yeah. But, must have been doing something right.
So, oh, man. But we got about a minute 20 left in the show here. So, but since you are such noble callers, Will and Clayton, if you would like to, just give some links where folks can find you excellent writers online if you'd like folks to actually connect with you.
I'll yield to Will first, please.
Oh, alrighty. Just my name, William Hutcherson, or William D. Hutcherson, on Twitter, Facebook, whatever works. I have an Instagram, too, just because.
Cool.
Excellent. That's all I got, really.
Hey, that's all that works.
Okay. And I'm Clayton Barnett, author of 9 books, One Children's Early Reader, available on Amazon and Smashwords, both in electronic and physical format. Nice. You can follow me on my blog, Machciv, machciv.com, and will be releasing a trilogy over the next 3 months. And in the winter of 2021, we'll start releasing all of my books on audiobook narrated by me. And I would like to thank Stephen Zimmer for being an excellent copy editor and sometimes editor when things strike him for all of my works.
Well, thank you, Beth. I really appreciate
that.
Well, thank you, folks. And I will go ahead and say, we'd love to have you all join us every week at 9 p.m. Eastern for a great creative discussion as we journey forth on our creative paths. Signing off for this week, this is Stephen, and I'm going to pass it over to Archie and Daniel to take us out.
All right. As always, you can find me at rgwesterman.com. Thanks for hanging with us this week. We'll see you next time.
And for more fun and good times, visit with us every week and learn about how to be creative from creatives and enjoy your week. Be creative. Talk to you later.